Drive Time on RTE Radio 1 with National Irish Bank. The bank that brought Danske Bank's international expertise to Ireland is now bringing the Danske Bank name.
Daniel Crawford is a cellist. He took 130 years of climate change data and put it to music. Each note corresponds to a year, and the pitch of each note indicates the temperature. What you've heard so far is 1880 up to 1910. The song of our warming planet isn't pleasant on the ear. It's not supposed to be. Starting nearly two octaves lower than middle C, it builds steadily in pitch throughout the 20th century. To a discordant climax in 2012 at A flat, five tones above middle C and nearly three octaves above where it started. It's another simple way of communicating a complicated scientific message, one that the scientists of the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change have had a pretty hard time convincing the world to take action on.
Now, this report confirms, and you'll hear a lot more about it with even more certainty than in the past, that it is extremely likely that changes in our climate system for the past half a century are due to human influence. And it should serve as yet another wake-up call.
800 experts citing evidence taken from 9,000 different scientific studies. They have agreed that warming is unequivocal and the observed changes are unprecedented over decades and millennia. The seas have risen and the rate of the rise hasn't been seen in 2,000 years. It is, though, a report for slow learners. The basic message hasn't changed since the last such report from this body. It just offers more detail.
Multiple lines of evidence confirm that the extra heat being trapped by the greenhouse gases is indeed warming the Earth's atmosphere, the Earth's surface, the oceans, raising sea levels, melting ice caps, glaciers. But we are also changing, and this is of particular concern to my organization, a change in weather patterns and extreme events such as heat waves, droughts, floods.
There's a classic position that scientists adopt if they meet resistance to their arguments. They throw facts at those who resist. If that doesn't work, they throw more facts at them and they throw them harder. It's not working, though.
I think the fact that we haven't seen any warming over the last 15 years will make governments even more reluctant to take any immediate action. They will kick this in the long grass and they have taken a wait-and-see approach.
Eurobarometer opinion polls on climate change reveal something very interesting. An ever-increasing number of us believe that climate change is a serious problem, nearly 90% in fact. And a majority, 51% of Europeans believe it is the most serious problem that we face. But 80% believe it's somebody else's problem. Governments, wealthier countries, the EU and businesses should be taking action, with only a fifth of people believing that they thought of it as their responsibility. The scientists have won the intellectual argument. They've persuaded us that they're right. They just haven't persuaded us to change our behaviour yet.
The question now is whether we will have the courage to act before it's too late. And how we answer will have a profound impact on the world that we leave behind, not just to you, but to your children and to your grandchildren.
Politicians are probably taking their cue from surveys like this. They know we care, just not enough to rally behind the politician who would impose significant change. Hence, the lollygagging elected officials in many countries who, rather than getting on with implementing change, are still framing the debate as one where sceptics need to be convinced that they are wrong.
I don't have much patience for anyone who denies that this challenge is real. We don't have time for a meeting of the Flat Earth Society.
Facing down those vested interests who you say are preventing you from embracing what will be unpopular policy is populist politics. It's happening this side of the Atlantic too. This was the reaction of the UK Environment Secretary today to the report.
This piece of evidence that we're seeing from Stockholm is probably the most robust, rigorous, most peer-reviewed piece of science in human history. I think it's put the question of whether climate change is happening beyond doubt. We've got to stop debating this issue as if we're some members of the Flat Earth Society and get on and act.
All these governments are in a position to act, to do something. But the failed 2009 Copenhagen and 2012 Doha conferences reveal how much motivation lies behind the rhetoric to actually get something done. So what's going to become of this report?
The heat is on. Now we must act.
The heat is on, says Ban Ki-moon, United Nations Secretary General, in response today.
We need to build resilience and seize the opportunities of a low-carbon future.
So how soon will the world's leaders be seizing the opportunities of a low-carbon future? They're not going to meet for the first time under Ban Ki-moon's chairmanship until exactly 12 months from now. And those meetings will be about more meetings to be held the year after that, 2015, at which it is hoped a new set of binding agreements will be made. How many of the politicians who've welcomed today's report will by then still be around? When the IPCC first reported, scientific consensus was that it was fundamentally necessary to prevent temperatures rising by more than 2 degrees before the end of the century. A series of reports by the United Nations Environment Programme makes clear, though, that the gap between the commitments made and those needed by 2020 to give us a halfway decent chance of meeting this goal are not shrinking year by year, they are widening. Today's report concludes that that 2 degree target will in all probability be breached. If Daniel Crawford were to try and write that piece of music with those extra 2 degrees, the notes he would be using would be beyond the range of the human ear.